Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Henderson, and good morning to you all. As many of you will have seen, it's a rather damp Welsh Wales today, but never mind, we're here to enjoy the feast. Now, I often wonder if there's any resemblance between me and the Basil Wolverton caricature that appeared in the Spokesman Club manual for Lesson 11 in Spa Speech. The caricature carried the caption, "Inspire me," and there was this great long face, you know, so almost, not retriever style, but you know, the bloodhound style face. And whenever I'm assigned this particular slot, I have the feeling I must tackle the subject of rejoicing at the feast. And on a purely physical level, there are two subjects that we all like to consider most at the feast. One is food, and the other is liquid refreshment. As your liberal guest, my purpose today is to inspire us all to rejoice before the Eternal, our God. Rejoicing before God is commanded at the Feast of Tabernacles. But the question some may ask is why? And that is a question that I intend to answer today. And in doing so, I'd like to thank Mr. Henderson for his introduction to the feast last night, because the manner in which he introduced the feast last night reassured me of the manner in which I was going to tackle the subject today. So thank you very much indeed for that introduction last night. Apart from all the numerous commands found in Scripture, we will turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and begin in verse 22. So here we find the food and drink part of the feast sorted out. Our second tithe will provide for all of our physical needs, accommodation, refreshment, both solid and liquid. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, we read the following words. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. And you shall eat before the Eternal your God in the place which you shall choose to place his name. The tithe of your corn, of your wine, and of your oil, of the firstlings of the herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Eternal your God always. And if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from you, which the Eternal your God shall choose to set his name there, when the Eternal your God has blessed you, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand, and you shall go unto the place which the Eternal your God shall choose. And there you shall bestow the money for whatsoever your soul longs after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or whatsoever your soul desires. And you shall eat there before the Eternal your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Your whole household shall rejoice. And the Levite that is within the gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. But rejoicing has more than the physical desire to eat and to drink the good things that the Eternal has blessed us with. There is the mental enjoyment or stimulation of being among God's people that you haven't seen for some time. And it brings, the feeling that you've got more to enjoy because there are more people around you. And it's a two-way process. There's a phrase that is often inspired or intoned at the marriage ceremonies. It begins, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered together," in what many would call very sobering times. to witness something truly spectacular. This is the establishment of God's kingdom here on this earth. However, over the past few weeks, we have seen the daily news becoming more and more ominous as the days go by. In contrast, this feast is not just about having a good time, spending more on good food, delicious wine, strong drink, and enjoying each other's company. We have fellowship here in a way that's not been possible for many months, and for many of us, but have not been able to enjoy such convivial and pleasant surroundings for some time. We are here celebrating while the world is in near panic. We are here picturing a bright future. The world is picturing a dark and dreary future. We are here celebrating the establishment of God's kingdom here on this earth, while the world appears to be gearing up for yet another war. We are here witnessing the turning of a page of history for mankind, the opening of a new chapter. This new chapter sees us, hopefully all of us, from wherever we may be, from Wales, Kentucky, South Africa, East Africa, Nigeria, the Philippines, and those who are scattered around the globe who are unable to attend the feast site. For one reason or other, they're shut away and they can't get away. And we're here as begotten sons and daughters of the living God, serving in his government, under our King, the glorified Jesus Christ. However, I'd like you all to consider another scenario. Perhaps 4 years from now, possibly five, but we don't know for sure. In the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 19 and verse 6, at this state of the millennial rule of God's government, the marriage supper of the Lamb will have already taken place. And you know, we are the bride of the Lamb. So here is another reason for us to rejoice. All of those that God the Father shall choose to be part of the bride of Christ will have been chosen at this time. In Revelation 19, beginning of verse 6 to verse 8, we read the following. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us all be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And verse 9, and he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Can you think of a better reason to rejoice than this? Being part of the wife of our Saviour Jesus Christ. And that will have already occurred by this stage of the millennium when that comes. This is not exactly a dress rehearsal for that magnificent wedding ceremony, but most assuredly it is a rehearsal for the world to come, when we will be part of the government of the kingdom of God. The world is seeing the civilization in its death throes, and we are here picturing the beginning of the millennial rule of Jesus Christ and his government under God. We are here to learn to teach as the millennium progresses. We will be witnessing this earth being transformed into the Garden of Eden once more. Seeing harvest becoming more and more abundant. Watching over families that are learning how to live in love, taking in each and every member of the family, not as the disjointed, disgruntled families we hear about today. Many of us will be watching over our children, who will be showing those around them how to live, and reaping the benefits of that way of life. Seeing neighbours living together as good neighbours, not as striving competitors. This time today pictures a time when we will have exchanged the physical bodies that are growing old and tired and wearing out for new spiritual bodies that will never wear out. And some of you may be aware that we're all a year older and the bodies really have got a little bit more worn out. My wife says to me, "You ate today, don't you?" And I can't hide it any longer because I'm hobbling from one place to another. We need to be aware that this year's Feast of Tabernacles could be the last one before the page of history is finally turned to change from the day of man, or more correctly, from the day of Satan, to the day of God's government, when that will be here on this earth, ruling the earth. I'd like you just to turn the page with me to read from Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 4. In this passage we find that we will be part of the ruling kingdom of God under Jesus Christ as kings of priests. This is our job description, a job description which far exceeds anything you could find in the creme de la creme from the Times or the Telegraph. And here we see the words of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 4 and reading through to verse 6. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, nor received his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And he lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. For the job of priests of God and of Christ, for a group such as us, it is quite inspiring. A lifetime of overcoming until the end of this age, and then we'll be sitting there on thrones under Jesus Christ, judging the world, ensuring that those in our charge are getting the right message and getting the right way learned and intoned into their very beings. Now, I said earlier, you know, it's better a better job description than anything you can find in the creme de la creme columns of the Times or even the Telegraph. Here we're going to be part of the government, of the very government of God, serving under Jesus Christ, as I said. And now, during this Feast of Tabernacles, which may be the last under the present dispensation, let us truly rejoice before the Most High God, our Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ, our elder brother, whose sacrifice made all this possible for us. Enjoy the physical blessings that are being given to us here by all means. And also remember the spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with and granted. And come and let us rejoice before the Eternal our God in the physical and in the spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with.